Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather. We thank you that we can come and to worship you, not someone who's dead, but well and truly alive, who we celebrate today, Father. So in the spirit of the living Father, may your living words speak to us today in this place, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last week, we've taken a bit of a journey, exploring a couple of things. We explored the road to Palm Sunday, where Jesus triumphantly entered into Jerusalem for the last time. The last time he entered into Jerusalem. Then we replayed aspects of the Last Supper to have that opportunity to be able to just to reflect, hey, to capture that story once again of Jesus' final moments in the human form with his disciples before he was to be taken away. You know, what a special moment that would have been. Then Good Friday, 2 days ago, we celebrated and talked about how great Good Friday was. And when you think about it, like, the brutality of it is not so great, but the outcome is what's great. The outcome for you and me and for all humanity is what is great. A few centuries ago, history was changed forever because of Jesus. History was changed forever. It's a mark in time where history was changed. Because of Jesus, hope is now the hero. Because of Jesus, we are forgiven. Because of Jesus, we are redeemed. We are more than conquerors. Guilt is gone. Fear has fled. And death is not the end. Isn't that good to celebrate? Death is not the end. And best of all, that we can be called children of God. We can have relationship with him. We can sit at the feet of our Creator and have that relationship with him. To be sons and daughters of a Heavenly Father. What an honor and privilege that would be. But let's talk about some of the story, some of the elements this morning of that. Can you imagine? Mary was the first one to go out to the tomb on that first morning before sunrise to mourn the passing of her beloved teacher and to care for his earthly body. Now you think about her going out. She would have been probably mentally preparing herself, hey, to think about what she's going to experience, what she's going to be exposed to that day. The lifeless body of the teacher that would just be there, lifeless. You imagine her thought pattern, her grief, just trying to make sense of what had happened in those short few days. Where she got to see him nailed to a cross and lose his life. You imagine that. Not to mention the practicalities of going out, of actually physically moving this massive big stone that encased Jesus in this grave. How was she going to get around that? But when she arrived, there would have been some relief at first because the stone had been rolled away. The stone wasn't there. Tick, item one off the list, gone. Don't have to worry about that. But the relief would have soon entered into a dread because the body was gone. Her Jesus, who she was anticipating, who she was coming out to see, was missing, was not there. What could Mary do? Mary could call security, call the police, call NRMA roadside assistance, or phone a friend. But what does she do? She runs back to her friends. She runs back to the disciples, back to those that knew him best. Those that would probably care that he was no longer there. Back to those that maybe held some answers, or maybe just for the safety of that locked, closed room that they needed. That community together. But Peter and John take off. They have to see it for themselves. I want to see for myself too, wouldn't I? You know, go and see. Oh, he's not there. Yeah, right. You know, he did talk about it, but he's not there. So they went out and seen it for themselves. And when they arrived, they see linens lying there. And suddenly, Mary's words come to life. Mary's words come to life. Jesus was no longer in the tomb. Like most events that happened in that last week, they didn't understand the magnitude of what had changed. The magnitude so great that we remember and celebrate those key events 2,000 plus years on, like we do today. Those events that changed life forever. We celebrate because of Jesus that changed everything for you and for me and for all creation. And today we're just going to look at three key things that changed because of an empty tomb that first Easter morning. After going to the grave, Peter and John returned to be with all the other disciples hidden away in that locked room. Once again, they come, like Mary, come back. They come back to hide in that room, to huddle together. Do you know what? In times of tragedy, of crisis, people like to be together, don't they? We need people around us, and that's exactly what they did. And it said in John, recorded in John, it says, on the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. He stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw that it was the Lord. They were excited to see that he was there amongst them. Can you picture these disciples in that room? The word translated as fear can also be seen as phobos in Greek. It means dread or stricken with terror. Stricken with terror. I am stricken with terror when I go bushwalking and I see a snake in front of me. Who's with me on that one? I just want to leg it out of there straight away. Can't stand them. If my family are there, I'm going to abandon my family. I am out of there. Sorry, family. That's me being stricken with terror, stricken with fear, fear for my life. I'll pay for that comment later. Anyone got a spare bed room tonight? But just to try and give you a picture of the condition that it was for them that morning. I'm stricken with terror. I'm definitely going to lock the doors. I'm going to use the deadbolt. I'm going to push the piano up against the door to make sure no one can enter that room. And this was the condition of the disciples. This is the condition that they had. They felt they were stricken with terror. They seen what happened to Jesus, right? He was nailed to the cross. He lost his life in such a brutal way that were they next? Were they next on his hit list to get that, to experience that? So they were stricken with terror, in fear for their life. But Jesus suddenly enters this room and thankfully cuts the tension in the air. Not just a jump scare, like, you know, I'd be tempted to do that. Hey, I'm back. I'm here. Everyone's, oh. But he just says, peace be with you. Just stands amongst them and welcomes them. Then shows his wounds to prove that it was him and that they know it is him. They realize that this is the resurrected Jesus before them. Like, they'd probably want to go to Specsavers and get their eyes checked, wouldn't they? Because you'd be wanting to just, like, confronted that the person who lost their life is now amongst them. But it goes on to say that they were overjoyed of Jesus' arrival. They were overjoyed of his arrival. Peace be with you. And this is no insignificant greeting offered by Jesus. Peace be with you is a statement of what Jesus had accomplished. And what does that carry? Peace between the Heavenly Father and his children on earth. Peace between our Heavenly Father and us here on earth. A peace that Paul would later describe so amazing, it was indescribable. Jesus spoke peace to the disciples amongst their turmoil, their questioning, their fear, and their unknown space of what to do next. Jesus brought that peace and that calm into that situation. Jesus revealed himself to show them that what he spoke about would take place. He said, I'm going to come back. And he did. In the very act of suffering, dying and rising for us, we too can have peace in our hearts when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We too can experience that. And we can have that eternal relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because of Jesus, we too can experience that peace. Biblical peace can be seen as completeness, can be associated with righteousness or rightness and truth. And in prophecy, Jesus was to be the Prince of Peace. Peace in its purest form, poured out for the first hearers, believers, and onto us. Because of Jesus, we can have peace in our hearts. You can nearly hear those disciples, a sigh of relief come over them, can't you, as Jesus stood amongst them. That sigh of relief, it's like he's here. Because of Jesus, just like Mary, Peter, and John, we too can experience peace in our hearts. While we welcome the idea of peace in our lives, we sometimes need to grasp the need for pardon in our lives, pardon for our sins. Pardon is what frees someone from the legal consequences or blame for a committed offense. No matter how many times Jesus told his followers that he came to die for their sins, they never really seemed to grasp it fully. Luke 24 tells us of two friends walking on that first Easter morning to Emmaus. And it goes like this in Luke 24. It says, Jesus shows up and walks beside them, these two people. But they don't recognize him. As they complain and question everything that had just happened in Jerusalem, Jesus tries to clear things up for them again. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken about. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus took it upon himself to meet with these two wanderers. They would have been heading away from the Passover celebration that would have taken place in Jerusalem. They would have seen everything that took place over that weekend, and they're talking about it, and Jesus just is there amongst them and talks to them and reminds them. Firstly, aren't you glad that you weren't these two guys who Jesus said were foolish and slow to believe? Yeah? We wouldn't have that phrase that's been captured in Scripture, that's been read over and over and over again. But sometimes, are we foolish? Are we slow to believe? As we ourselves grapple with some of these questions of life, as we grapple with what he's done for us, as we sit here this Easter again, and be reminded of the empty tomb and what that means to us. Secondly, wouldn't you have loved to be one of those guys to listen to Jesus explain what he said in scriptures? Jesus is having a conversation with two people that he loves, journeying on the way to wherever they're headed, off to Emmaus. Wouldn't you love that experience, that encounter? Hang on, this all just took place. And this person just shows up and reminds us, tells us, unpacks that story for us once again and reveals to us. Sam on Good Friday shared back to Genesis with Adam and Eve when sin first entered the world and where we needed to be pardoned or forgiven for our sins. The story of Adam and Eve is meant to help us understand that while this can seem in a few places, we can see these words written many, many years ago. In Isaiah, it says that he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we're healed. By his wounds we're healed. These words that were spoken over Jesus' life of what was going to take place. You got Jesus meeting with people on the road to Emmaus. We got Jesus appearing in the middle of disciples when he come and said, peace be with you. And he told them, maybe even reminded them, that it is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. That's going to be the part it starts at. And it's going to go out from there. Capture this. Easter isn't just a get-out-of-free-jail card on the Monopoly board of life. It's a radical, life-changing forgiveness that we will never fully understand. We will never fully understand all that. But because of Jesus, everything changed. The resurrection means for us our slate is wiped clean and the charges against us have been cancelled. We're not just forgiven, we're set free to live in the fullness of God's grace. We're set free to live in the goodness of God's grace. Because of Jesus, we have been given the pardon for our sins. But it doesn't end just there, because Easter isn't just about me and you here today. First and foremost, it is because of what he does in us. But it's Jesus working in me and through me to take it out to others. Remember what Jesus said, love God, love others? You know, we experience his peace. We get pardoned, but it doesn't stop there. It's then pouring out to others. We have the opportunity to pour that out to others. So what does that mean? Through Jesus' whole life teaching, his death and resurrection, is a call to love, to serve, and to help others. Not just hold on to it for ourselves, but to let it work out through us. We're told in Scripture that Jesus was around for about 40 days after his resurrection. He revealed himself. He didn't just rise from the dead, give these followers a peace out and head straight to heaven, say, I'm out of here. He stuck around for a bit, because he wanted to ensure that his followers knew he had risen from the dead. He didn't just continue to love and to serve and to help others and to pass that on to his followers and prepare them for the next. He wanted to hand over the ministry that was for them. And I'm glad that he did, because at that point in time, it's like a real pivotal point for the disciples. The disciples hid away in that room. Jesus revealed himself to them. And then from there, really cemented their ministry from there. Right before his ascension to heaven, Jesus said these words. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And the best of all, and be sure of this, that I am with you always. That I am with you always to the very end of the age. We can celebrate because of Jesus that today, that he is with us. He is going before us. In the book of Acts, it records that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we are beneficiaries of that today, aren't we? That because of Jesus' event that took place back in history, that we've heard that and we can respond to that accordingly. And as we know, this message just didn't remain with his disciples locked up in Jerusalem behind closed doors. It was poured out to others. The disciples poured that out to others. More than once, the Apostle Paul, the disciple, used the phrase, I am being poured out like a drink offering. He was poured out time and time again, is an action of sacrifice. So what does poured out look like? Pour out to others by living as someone who's been changed because of the good news of Jesus. We can live that out to those we come into contact with, our neighbors, our friends, our work colleagues. We can pour out to others by telling them about the hope that we have in Jesus. We can share that. Share the reason that we believe what we do. And we can pour out to our neighbors by serving others, our friends, the church, the community, for the very reason of sharing the love of Jesus. Sometimes action speaks louder than words, and we have the opportunity to do that. Because of Jesus, we are called to pour out to our neighbors. Because of Jesus, everything changed back in those days. Going to ask the worship team to come up this morning. They're going to minister to us in a moment through a great song. But it's an opportunity for us this morning to respond. To respond to him. in 1 Peter. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did we hear that? A new birth into a living hope through his resurrection. That he came back to life. Not flowery words written by a poet. These are words that were written by an old fisherman named Peter. An old fisherman named Peter. He was the same guy who ran to the tomb with John, with the disciple that Jesus loved. He was the same guy that once was referred to as Satan. When Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He was the same guy who cut off the guard's ear in the Garden of Eden the night before Jesus died. Because of Jesus, his life was changed. Changed radically. He was the same guy who denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus went to the cross. He was the same guy who preached with boldness just 50 days after the resurrection, and thousands got to know Jesus. How good is that? You know what? I see elements of my own life in this. You know? I see elements of my own life. I don't get it perfect. By no means. But you know, because of Jesus, my life has changed, and I'm inspired to go on and to carry that, to pour that out to others. So this morning, as we gather here this morning, as we celebrate Jesus as our risen Savior, then I invite you, maybe you haven't accepted Jesus before in your life, and it's an opportunity to do that this morning. Maybe you want to come and to kneel down here as kids and stuff here, but that's okay. Maybe you just want to, where you sit, say, Jesus, I might know you very well, but I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life, and I want to live my life for you. And I want to invite you into my life. So please come in. Because that's what he'll do. He will do that. Maybe you want to recommit this Easter once again to mark the point in time, to be reminded of what Jesus has done and what is doing and will do through your life. And one way you might want to respond this morning, there's cards down here on the mercy seat. It says, because of Jesus, hope is the hero and we are overcomers. It's got a little magnet, you can whack it on your fridge, filing cabinet, wherever you want to do that. Just to be reminded that because of Jesus, hope is the hero. That we are overcomers because of what he's done in our life. Maybe you just want to sit and just worship him this morning. The King of Kings. Take a moment to do that this morning.